Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bond. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Cast for the week of June 27th, 2016. I'm your host, Zach. Just now we have Chris.
Hello.
And that's it for this week. It's me, Chris.
All you need.
Yes. Joe's off doing something.
Joe things.
Yeah, Joe things. Secret Joe things. But yeah, so Chris and I will be diving into, I'm sure, a bunch of tangents and a whole bunch of news, which we'll get into right now because there's a bunch of it, as usual. So we'll kick things off with some trailers that came out over the last week or so. We got the first trailer for Mechanic Resurrection, which is the sequel to The Mechanic with Jason Statham, based on the Charles Bronson movie. Even though it has almost literally nothing to do with the Charles Bronson movie.
This could have been called The Transporter Mechanic, and it still would have made sense.
Transporter Reloaded or something. Like. It's, so it picks up some time after the first Mechanic, after he like, tricks Ben Foster. Like, he and Ben Foster had that weird, like, assassin battle, and then Jason Statham, spoiler alert, wins. And then, but now he's like, it's like, I guess a couple of years later, he's still doing hits.
Still be Jason Statham.
Yeah, being Jason Statham, killing people, dating Jessica Alba.
What, she just, like, met?
Mm-hmm. And then, but then she gets kidnapped by this weird organization. They're like, hey, Jason Statham, go kill these four people.
We're giving you, like, 2 days.
And they have to look at the accidents, because that's your specialty.
I mean, he doesn't want to do it, but then he does it, but then he doesn't really like it.
Well, it's, I don't know if he kills, like, maybe the first person, and then, like, he meets Tommy Lee Jones as, like, one of the targets, and it's like, well, we're gonna fake your death, and then you can help me. And then, like, Tommy Jones with, like, a crazy, like, soul patch, and, like, looking like I don't know, like an 80s, like, producer or something. Like, he's got, like, a very weird look.
You know what it reminds me of? It looks like his Under Siege persona.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's exactly what he looks like. Mm-hmm. Like, what if he didn't survive the knife in the head and then, like, the TV through the face?
Yep.
I give it credit. Tommy Jones, like, 70?
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more excited for him than Jason Statham, of course.
Yeah. But yeah, this looks like a 100% like Stathaming though. Like this is like full on Jason Statham.
If he drove a black car
and wears a suit at one point.
And wears a suit, yeah, like it's just the most Jason Statham movie things you could do.
And it looks like some like cool like better than like we were talking about before, like it looks better than like the actual like Hitman movies. Like this is like he's like Jason Statham's like actually like Hitman style, like take like assassinations like that. The opening one for the trailer where like he like makes a crack
and lands
like,
a pool.
Like
yeah.
Breaks the infinity pool.
Or like, wow, like that is a better like way to kill someone that looks like an accident and professional. Mm-hmm. But like Hitman is just this otherworldly insane thing that like fucking Jason Statham just fixes. And Jason Statham, like, if you just, like, clean shave him and give him a back tattoo, like, a little cult, like, number bar, totally fine. Now he's a hitman.
Yep.
You know, now he's Agent 47.
Mm-hmm.
They should just tack on Agent 47 at the end of Mechanic Resurrection, Agent 47.
Well, I'm the hitman now, mate. They should do an homage to, like, the original, like, Mechanic and have him, like, put, like, a weird, like, bomb in, like, a book. And then, like,
And then try to shoot an oven.
Yeah, shoot, like, break an oven, like, shoot it a book and then blow up the guy. They're like 20-minute long, like, opening sequence of The Mechanic with Charles Bronson.
Super complex, like, you could just, like, shot him and blew up the building. Mm-hmm. Forensics back in the 70s was nothing.
Yeah. Or just Jason should go find a girl, like, trying to, like, slit her wrist and be like, wait, do it. Do it.
You kind of want to watch a live snuff act? Like, oh. Thank God that wasn't in the original, but this time they could just
go to like a judo class or like fly a plane or like whatever. That like weird like Charles Bronson's Day Out.
Half that movie is just Charles Bronson doing not assassin things,
yeah,
and then like weird kind of philosophy talks. I don't like life lessons to this guy,
mm-hmm.
this grown man.
Yep.
I don't know. Like, this is very, like you said, super actiony and definitely riding off the banks of like the last Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah, and it's gonna close out the summer in August, so it's a solid way to go out with Jason Statham. And then we also got the trailer for Sully this week, which is the latest from Clint Eastwood, and it's his take on the 2009. Landing in the Hudson River, done by Sully Sullenberger. When, like, there, I guess a bird hit the, like, a bird hit the engines.
Seagulls.
And, yeah, seagulls hit the engines and blew up the engines, and then he had to land it in the Hudson River and saved everyone on the plane.
And then everyone was, like, super pissed. Like, everyone started blaming things. But maybe not to this level, because I remember, like, he was hailed a hero, like, pretty fast. It wasn't just, like,
literally everyone on the plane was fine. It's just like,
yeah,
it's not like, yeah, but then there's like the weird part of this movie. It looks like there's gonna be like half of it is gonna be like the, maybe like flashing back to like the actual landing, but then part of it's gonna be like him getting
the
like
courtroom
yeah,
drama.
Like him getting like investigated by like a weird asshole Michael Malley.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I'm pretty sure it was like probably one stern conversation they had, but they're because they have to over dramatize.
They're probably like, just like, hey Sully, you probably should have tried to land on a runway, but it's fine.
Yeah, everyone
next
lived.
Next time try to land on a runway.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Don't hit birds next time.
Yeah, like, oh, like, don't try to, like, fly away from birds. I don't know, that's the best we can do. Like, you did a pretty amazing job. Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't, like, even a pat on the back. He was a veteran, like, Air Force guy and all this, and it's like, he knows better. He just, unfortunately, that was, like, what happened at the time.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was, like, snorting coke and then did this.
He was like Denzel from Flight.
Yeah, a lot of people were comparing this to Flight, how they're like, when Denzel did it and fucking killed half of them,
mm-hmm.
they still praised him.
Yeah.
But when Tom Hanks does it, it's just like, oh no, like, you're gonna get a stern talking. And, like, Flight's not even based on anything real.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Malley is like, he's like that weird, Clint Eastwood is always like a cast like some, like one kind of like weird, like just out of nowhere casting choice. Like I remember in like, I think, was it Changeling or, one of them had, I think one of the movies like had like, I think it was Changeling, like, it had like Jeffrey Donovan in it doing like a crazy like Burn Notice accent, just like, being like, oi, I'm Irish Jeffrey Donovan.
Holy shit, I forgot that movie. That's the one where, spoiler alert, children go missing.
Yep.
And even then, it's, like, not a happy ending movie.
No. But that was, like, Jeffrey Downer was, like, the weird, like, out of nowhere, like, Clint Eastwood just, like, does Clint Eastwood, like, is a Burn Notice fan? Like, what's going on here?
It had to be. He had to be, like, watching that. It was like, I really like this guy. Let's make him, like, find this
I like
baby.
That Michael Weston.
Yeah. You want to find Angela Jolie's child.
Maybe he was like, give me that Bruce Campbell. It's like, he's unavailable, sir. All right, give me the other guy.
Bruce Campbell would have made more sense in this role.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like so comical. It was like, I can't find your kid. The end. Spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
For those who didn't see Changeling.
But yeah, Tom Hanks. I think a pretty solid choice. Like, if you're not like the most likable actor in the world, like, is, is one of the, like, the biggest heroes of the last couple of years, so.
He is every other real-life hero,
mm-hmm.
apparently. He was Captain Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
He was,
yeah, if you need, like, a guy who's gone through, like, crazy, like,
life-altering like, experiences.
Yeah.
You need Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
He's played a child, turned into a man. He's played,
He was lost on an island. He was.
He brought Christmas joy.
He's a toy cowboy.
He fought Nazis once. Mm-hmm. He solved Christianity. He's still solving it again in Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
So you can't really go wrong with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, and it looks like pretty, typical Clint Eastwood all of his usual visual stuff, and he's been adapting like real life has been pretty solid so far. So even though American Sniper is probably like 50% bullshit, but it was still well done. One? American Sniper, like probably most of that is not true, or like a lot of that is not true.
Yeah, but I cleaned up the language, but like the acts are pretty much the same, I think.
There's a lot of stuff that's like up in the air.
Really shady. Yeah. Yeah, up in the air, just like his actual true outlook in the war. It wasn't as joyous as, or like American, like.
So, so that's out in September, I believe. So we're kind of like at the start of like award season. So I'm guessing probably depending on like how good, I'm sure Tom Hanks will get like some sort of nom, maybe, or like Clint Eastwood will get some sort of nom. It seems like that kind of movie.
I feel like this, he'll get an award just being like this old
for being Tom Hanks.
Like, yeah. No, I'm just saying
Clint Eastwood. Yeah, he'll get the Clint Eastwood award for
Clint Eastwood for just like doing all these different things with his life. I'm surprised he hasn't released like an album yet. Clint Eastwood like drops like a fucking country music song album.
I thought it was coming after Gran Torino.
I thought too.
We sang the weird like Gran Torino love song at the end.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, like is he gonna start singing? Oh no, you're gonna go more directing. Good for you, Clint.
It's like Gran Torino.
You're a fast car.
I learned not to be racist. So speaking of real life stuff, we also got the trailer this week for Bleed for This, which is the, it seems like every year we get like at least one boxing movie, and this is this year's boxing movie.
It's just like, it's the next thing on the totem pole of boxing things, like, and the twist is, this guy has a new problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's ever just like a boxing movie where the guy doesn't really, like, sails through pretty much like okay trials, you know, it's like, oh, he got better training and he became like the champ.
Mm-hmm.
It's always like, oh no, he's got to like have a gun battle, or like
he's got to rebuild his entire life.
Like, yeah, like he found the drugs, mm-hmm. or his family doesn't believe in him. But this time it's like neck injuries.
Yeah, so we got Miles Teller playing Vinny the Tasmanian Devil Pazienza,
aka Mr. Fantastic. I'm surprised like that's not tacked on into the nicknames. It's like, why is Mr. Fantastic boxing now?
In the trailer, it should be like, Miles Teller from Fantastic Four. But yeah, so, Vinny Pazienza, he won the light heavyweight title, and then seemed like he was going to be, like a huge superstar, and then got in a horrible head-on collision, and they're basically like, you'll be lucky if you, like, doctors are like, you'll be lucky if you even walk again, let alone you're never gonna box again. Like, we just gotta get you to walk. And he's like, nah, fuck that. I'm gonna box again. And he just did like his own like
weird
rehab.
Yeah, he rehabbed himself, which is like pretty amazing for like a spine injury.
Mm-hmm.
Which are like, we want to fuse your neck bone and your like spinal cord straight, so you can never like look right or left comfortably. Which is like, I guess what they do for dire situations. And he just was like, nah, like.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna let my neck set by itself, and like
I'm gonna do push-ups, I'm gonna do sit-ups while I have this neck brace on.
I'm just like, whoa, this isn't like a movie starring in like, you know, the 40s. This is a movie starring like the 80s, like late 70s, early 80s. I think like it's very dated. It's not like they're having cell phones or anything, so that's why I'm saying that. But medical science is, like, between the 70s and 80s to the 90s is, like, still pretty advanced. So the guy just kind of cures himself by just ignoring that.
Like, 91 he won the light heavyweight title.
Really?
Yeah.
91 technology isn't terrible, so it's not like, he's like, I don't believe in, like, this science. It was just, like, just let me, like.
I don't believe in this witchcraft.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what he was saying. And then even the doctor's like, it's going to hurt. And he's like, okay. Like, that was the thing. It was just, I mean, yeah, I'm generalizing it a lot. But the trailer made it seem like it was such bad surgery that he's like, nah, I'm just going to hang out and do crunches and heal my neck. Spoiler alert, he does.
Yeah, and then he gets, like, beaten down in, like, his first match back.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an underdog story, kind of, but instead of, like, a tough opponent, it's just he has a horrific neck injury.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you, like, this movie, half of it's going to be a lot of people say, you can't do that, or you're never going to be as good again. Like, it's just more of that movie.
Well, it seemed like his parents were like, don't do it, Vinny. Don't do it.
Yeah. But even when he does it, they're still like, don't do it again.
You're going to be paralyzed, Vinny.
I wish it would have been a terrible movie, but it just should have been a comedy then. If they were right, like, he does do it, it gets worse.
And then he fights back again.
Yeah, it just gets worse. You know, it's a feel-bad movie of the year.
It's like, Vinny, you're never getting out of that iron lung. They screw you up with.
And then he fucking cures himself of, like, lung disease. And it's Vinny. And then he fights again. Like, yeah. Vinny, you're not going to get your foot foot back. And then, like, he fucking boxes one foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to see this fucking underdog story where, like, he just stays the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Would match the mood of 2016 so far. Of just, like, shit going wrong and keeps going
wrong. So that was going to be out in November. So that's right in award season time. So I don't know. This muscle might get some award
attention. It'll be really terrible. It was, like, awards but Miles Teller. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the
punishment,
cast.
Punishment for Fantastic Four.
No, I mean, like, think about it. Didn't, like, what was the one with Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale?
So, oh, my God. Why am I blanking?
I'm blanking on that one, too. But because I'm thinking, like, didn't Christian Bale get the fight? Didn't Christian Bale get the award and not, like...
Yeah.
Like
yes.
That's just, and then, like, Southpaw did terrible.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, no one cared about... That was just, the, like, Kurt Sutter, like depression fest that no one saw.
So this is, like, a little bit more entertaining and, like, factual.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, once you get to Southpaw level, just, like, zany shit and trying to work your way out as an underdog boxer, like, I don't know. It's going to be, like, hard. Like, every boxing movie has to stand the test time against a Rocky movie.
Well, I mean, like now, like the bar got set by Creed last year, so
I mean, it's still a Rocky.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and Creed had like double doses, just like boxing problems. His girlfriend has problems. The trainer has problems. Everyone has problems.
Yep, yeah, but yeah, so we'll have to see how it compares to Creed and Rocky and the other boxing movies.
It should have been hilarious if they actually made a 90s cameo appearance in it. Like, his second opponent is, like, fictional Rocky.
Like, horrible, like, CG, young, like...
De-aged. Young Rocky. Yeah.
Alone. Like... So we also got the trailer for Why Him, which is coming out on Christmas Day. Did you see this one, Chris?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so basically, Bryan Cranston versus James Franco, which is the matchup I think we've all been waiting to see.
Half of that is what I was waiting to see. The rest, I was just like, it's just James Franco being James Franco.
This is like the James Franco I like, though, which is just like
stupid,
sweet but stupid, like just like trying to hard James Franco,
like kind of like Pineapple Express,
or like The Interview.
Okay. I can see that. But Bryan Cranston is like...
Yeah, Bryan Cranston, back to comedy.
Back in comedy, yeah. That's what I was like more excited for.
Yeah. Because
James Franco, when he's not being like stupid James Franco, is like weird to watch too, but he's like competent.
Well, it's either like comedic, like wacky James Franco or like weird artiste James Franco.
No, but then you get like Flyboys where he's like a gruff guy.
Serious James Franco is the worst James Franco.
Serious. Like, it's like... Minneapolis.
Yep.
Was another like serious James Franco.
Minneapolis or
it was the one where he's like in the army. He's like trying to be a Marine or something like that. Is it Minneapolis or like something Apolis?
There was like was it Annapolis? But
I think Annapolis.
The only serious James Franco movie that I liked recently was like 127 Hours.
Yeah, but because like, he has no one to act off of, it's just him.
Yeah.
So you're forced to like him. Who do you like? The Rock. Like,
Annapolis was that was
the Annapolis. One. That was the one where he's like trying to be a Marine or something.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert: he becomes a Marine.
James Franco and why him though looks like the best kind of James Franco.
I also feel like this is going to be kind of like Last Holiday or whatever that movie was, Last Christmas, where like it's going to be a hit like slowly, like as a like rental or something.
Well, it's like Bryan Cranston's daughter is like going to Stanford and then starts dating James Franco, who's like this weird like internet billionaire, and then they go to visit her for Christmas and then. It's just like, oh, then James Franco's like, oh, I'm going to ask your daughter to marry me. And Mark is just like, no, 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 no. And then it's just like, Bryan Cranston's just like trying to figure out how to get like James Franco out of, like away from his daughter. And then James Franco's trying to like win over Bryan Cranston.
I mean, James Franco isn't super terrible because he's like rich.
Yeah.
If he weren't rich, that'd be a different story. You know what I mean? Like, if you get rid of his money and his crazy, like, power, he's just, like, some asshole.
Yeah. And then, like, Megan Mullally is Bryan Cranston's wife, and Keegan-Michael Key's there is, like, James Franco's, like, weird, like, manservant, I guess, or something, or, like, just, like,
yeah,
like spiritual advisor or something. Just, like, he's just there hanging out. And then it's directed by John Hamburg, who directed I Love You, Man.
Okay.
Which was great, so.
Yeah, I Love You, Man was a great movie. I liked it. I know critics didn't like it the first time, but I liked it over time.
Slap at the bass.
Plus, like, I like a lot of things with Paul Rudd, so, like, I'm biased towards that one.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it's, I feel like this is, I thought, like, this was, like, a Seth Rogen kind of thing, you know, Evan Goldberg.
I think Jonah Hill is one of the producers, but yeah, I don't think it's not Seth Rogen or Evan Goldberg. They have too many other things going on right now.
Yeah. But it's like up that same alley of like
yeah, the
story and everything. So I'm interested. I just don't think I'm going to see it Christmas week.
No. The Red Band trailer was actually like, there were some times where I was like, I definitely like laughed out loud at like some of the stuff in the Red Band trailers. That's. I'm definitely going to see that at some point. Yeah, probably not, like, opening weekend or, like, maybe not even in theaters, but, like, at some point.
That's
definitely, okay. Yeah. And then the last trailer for the week is we got the trailer for Ouija, Origin of Evil, which is the sequel prequel to Ouija. So we're flashing back to the 60s to find out... I don't know if it's the same Ouija board or just, like, another evil Ouija board, but...
Nope, same one. It's the prequel to the ghost monsters that are the first movie.
Mm-hmm. And there's like there's a single mom who runs a fake like seance psychic business, and then she's like brings a Ouija board home to use it as a prop, and then their youngest daughter gets possessed by the demons of the Ouija board, and then like horrible things are happening.
Yeah, man, you bring home a Ouija demon. It's unexplained too. Because the first movie, not to spoil much, is just like the aftermath of this movie. So if you see the first movie, like you kind of know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like in this movie, it's still like no one knows where the fuck the demon came out of the Ouija board. You know, like the Ouija board is mysterious. It's like Jumanji-like, you know, it's just like... So you brought home, like, you know, you brought a Ouija board with a demon in it. And I'm more about, I want to know more about the demon. More fuck this family, like...
Yeah, like, what's his name? Like, what's his dumb demon name and stuff like that?
Yeah, is he a Bugugi kind of thing? Bugugi? I don't know.
We juju.
And it's like, that's more interesting than this family that gets tormented by that, who then go on and torment the next people in the first movie. So, like, if you got questions, no answers, or, like, see this movie enough times, it'll make, like, a prequel movie.
We'll go back to, like, the 30s or something.
Yeah, where it's like, okay, like, this is how this happened, and so these people. I remember Joe had a saying, like, you know, if a horror movie goes back and tells, like, the origin story, it loses the magic of, like, the monster too much.
Yeah.
But it's like, if they're trying to explain the origin story, even with the word fucking origin in the title, it's still not the origin.
Yeah,
there's still another origin.
Yeah, there's already a demon in there. Like, where'd that demon come from? Like,
yeah, so like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to have an origin, like, unless they show a flashback in this movie where, like, another kid plays with Luigi and gets sucked in.
Oh, my God.
And adds, like, this endless loop of fucking, like, origins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I definitely am not seeing this. And you haven't seen the first one, so you don't know my pain.
I'm never going to see it. Probably either of these movies, so.
Enough alcohol, you'll see it. You'll see it good.
Like Halloween commentary or something.
Not even. It's like a Christmas commentary.
We watched the Ouija experiment, which is like the Asylum's ripoff of Ouija.
Probably a better version. I don't know. I gotta give that one a shot.
I think there's like multiple Ouija experiments.
God damn. Again, it's for like the better half of the first movie, it's a bunch of people just like playing Ouija and then just like, ooh, who's saying this?
Mm-hmm.
It's fun for like a hot second and then it's like gets really boring.
So, other news for this week, we got the new Ghostbusters theme for the upcoming Ghostbusters movie, which is done by Fall Out Boy and Missy Elliott, and it is terrible.
It is, like, punishment.
Yes.
It is like the world did something wrong, and they showed us this. It's the shit, like, rubber nose in it.
Some people were like, on Twitter and, like, around the web, like, people were like, now, somebody's just, like, actively trying to get us, like, they just, like, gave up, or just trying to, like, actively get us to hate the movie. They just, like, gave up, like, defending it, just like, yeah, it's terrible. Like, here's a terrible theme song.
I don't know. I feel like the theme song already preludes what people are feeling, and now this just kind of confirms it.
Well, it did join everyone together under a banner of hate for Fall Out Boy.
Yeah, which just sucks, because Fall Out Boy recently, in the last, like, 2 years, got back into good graces, because it was, like, it was garbage for a little bit. Like, Fall Out Boy, like, got popular again. Mm. And now this is, like, not helping their cause.
That Uma Thurman song, whatever that was.
Yeah, then they also had that, like,
Big Hero 6 song.
Big Hero 6. Or... they had that fucking, like, I Know What My Songs Do in the Dark, which is, like, so fucking catchy, but then everyone started playing it, and it became hateful again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they're rising to, like, almost Nickelback status. Like, this is not helping their cause of, like, getting there.
Yeah, this new Ghostbusters theme is just, like a horrible, just, like, cacophony of, like, Fall Out Boy stuff, but then also, like, weird, like, Danny Elfman-style stuff, and then, like, the original Ghostbusters theme is, like, in there. It's, like, it's, like, 10 of the things jammed together in, like, a horrible, like, blender.
It's the thing. If you're gonna have Fall Out Boy cover the song, let them cover, like, an original song. Don't let them, like, reuse of the Ray Parker lyrics.
Yeah.
But the fact of that, like, they fucking, like, remix it in such a weird way.
Well, no, they say, I'm not afraid instead of I ain't afraid, Chris.
Yeah, God damn it. But instead of being, like, a cool chant, it sounds like a really bad, like, commercial.
It's just, like, typical, like, Fall Out Boy, like, angsty, like,
yeah.
I'm not afraid, Dad.
You hear me? I'm not gonna cut my hair.
Shut up, Dad. You don't know what's going on.
And then you're like, you realize these people are, like, in their mid-30s, so it's not even, like, cool anymore. But then, fucking out of nowhere near the end is, like, the Missy Elliott breakdown, which goes on for way too long. Mm-hmm. And you just feel terrible for her because she doesn't know, the part of the song, you know? Like, did she hear the first part of the song? Because it sounds like she doesn't, and that's when she's coming
she's
and rapping
like,
her
she's
own.
She, like, emails it to them. It's like, yeah. This is the thing I did for this. Like, if it works, use it.
Yeah. That's how it sounds like. It doesn't sound something that, like, they've worked up together. It sounds so corporate where it's like, all right, Fall Out Boy. Like, this is your part. Play this on your style.
We own both of you. Sony Records, whatever the record company under Sony is, we own you. So.
Columbia House, I think?
Maybe, yeah.
Whatever, one of those. But, oh my God, it is just so hot. Like, you know, it's so terrible. And
mm-hmm.
I played this thing maybe like 5 or 6 times the weekend when we first heard it. We're just like, holy shit, everyone must know.
Everyone needs to hear this to see, like, experience this thing.
And again, universally panned. No one's like, I enjoy it. It's kind of just like, holy shit, this is the real song.
Yeah.
I've heard fan songs sound better than this. Mm-hmm. You know, like, fucking Lemon Demon has a better, like, Ghostbusters song called Busting.
Yeah.
Which is a remix.
Have you heard, like, the AC/DC Ghostbusters, like, mashup?
No.
But they put Thunderstruck over Ghostbusters and it works perfectly.
God damn. So, like, again, like, there are ways you can make a Ghostbusters song that, like, is official or is, like, a fan thing or a parody.
Or it sounds pretty good. Or, you know, crazy idea, just, like, get Ray Parker Jr. back and just have him do a new Ghostbusters song. Like, I'm sure he's not doing anything.
I'm pretty sure he should be leading the campaign to get himself back, you know? Yeah. Like, I feel like he deserves some sort of credit, but I don't know what happened to him. He must have fucking did something terrible or something to be, like, eradicated from the music industry.
The only thing recently was that like Key and Peele sketch where they had like
and that's what people just forgot. Oh yeah, Ray Parker was a thing.
Yeah,
and then just disappeared again. Hell, I would take a Key and Peele version of Ray Parker doing this song.
Yes. Or Bobby Brown, we can get a new version of On Our Own, which is like and just describe the plot of the movie.
You know,
one of the best, like, describing the plot songs of all time.
Describing the plot song and the song. I know.
Viggo, the master of evil. Up against the boys, you can't beat them. So, we also got a couple of release date announcements for 2018. So, Wreck-It Ralph 2 got announced this week, coming in 2018. They had a big, like, Facebook Live announcement for it.
At least they showed, us, like, more art or something.
Like, they showed, like, a first, like, concept art thing, which it seems like, so the plot of Wreck-It Ralph, it's gonna have, like, I don't know if Ralph and, what's
Sarah Silverman's character? Sarah Silverman.
Yeah. Vanellope von Schweetz. Like,
just little Sarah Silverman, yeah. That's who I just think her as.
They're going through the internet this time.
Probably like to play mobile apps or something. Like it has to be something like that.
Well, because the concept art is just like it's like them, and then there's all these like different like parodies of like internet sites. There's like Lubhub and like
Grubble,
Pictopedia and like Jiffy and like Amazing and Google with like a umlaut U instead of the two U. O's, like. Yeah, and then Jesse Riley was on that stream, and he said, like, Ralph leaves the arcade and wrecks the internet.
Which is fine. But I then, just, I kind of want to rather see Tron, you know? Like,
yeah.
Give me my Tron.
Well, I just hope, like, I like the first one a lot, but, like, the first half of Wreck-It Ralph is amazing, and then when they get stuck in, like, Sugar Rush for like the whole second half of the movie. That's where it kind of like lost its like original like concept of what it was.
Yeah, like it's no more focus on the arcade and the life. It's just like now like check out this fake sugar.
That was just Candyland.
Yeah, now it's just Super Candyland. Mario Kart Candyland.
Yeah. So hopefully this is more like some modern gaming jokes or like they like run into like weird like internet mobile games or something or.
Which is fine, like, it's different, you know? I just wish, like, I had more of a plot detail besides the internet. Like, oh, okay.
And, I think they said that is coming out, yeah, March 9th, 2018 is when that's going out, so. And then also Pacific Rim 2 is going to be hitting 2018.
I'll see it when I see it.
February 23rd, 2018.
I'll see it when
you see a trailer, yeah.
Or I'll believe when I see the movie.
Yeah.
It's not just like a super watered down production of like Guillermo del Toro wearing a Jaeger cardboard cutout, like kaiju style.
He travels across the country being like, I am a kaiju. And then it's just like a one man interpretive dance of like Pacific Rim 2 from Guillermo del Toro.
And then fucking like a mom is missing her child kind of thing.
It's gonna be the most Guillermo del Toro movie ever. Then
there's vampires and like there's like a kaiju vampire or something, and like
Tom Hiddleston shows up and invites you for tea.
Mm-hmm. So we also got confirmation this week that the BioShock Up-Res collection is coming soon. So it's gonna be all three of the original the only BioShock games up-res for current consoles, with all the DLC included.
Which would be great if I didn't own it already. So now I'm like, I'm not buying this again.
I think I traded them all in when I got my PS4, so I could probably get that again.
I don't know.
I never played the Infinity DLC. Like the Return to Rapture or whatever it was.
Oh, like the Burial at Sea?
Burial at Sea, yeah, I never played that.
Oh my god, like that was fucking awesome. Like that was the only thing I was like, that was cool, because that came out like a few months, like 2 months I think after the original, so you had enough time to beat the game and like experience it. But that is really pinnacle, because that should have been in the real game too. Like I feel that was like the nice epilogue, because it ties everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Not really gonna spoil it, because it's like when you play it, like it's really like it's a very good bookend story. Like that's all like, yes, like that's a good trilogy. Unfortunately, BioShock 2 is like the bastard child that like they just don't talk about since I liked it.
Yeah, I really liked it too.
I don't know what happened.
They had an awesome DLC too, where like you had to like go through like the like computer core of Rapture.
Yeah, you were just like another guy.
Yeah.
That was cool in its own way. I didn't buy Merald's Den, so I didn't play. Plus I got it like a super like used discount.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't gonna pay like, I think like the DLC was full price too. I bought the game for like $4 and the DLC was like $10. I was like, hell no. So maybe like just for that, but even then it's like I could live without that. Because like I recently played Infinity like maybe 2 months ago, so I'm like, I don't need to play this again.
It's gonna be out September 13th on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. So.
Give them more money. They probably won't make another BioShock game for another few years.
Well, I think they're working on System Shock, right? Apparently, or supposedly.
Supposedly, because, you know, to even bring that story a full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, because maybe they'll try to tie in the BioShock series with the System Shock series.
Like System Shock is just like future BioShock, where like the space station is Lighthouse or something, or like...
Yeah. Well, they open up a door and everything, and it's like, well, this is the future with, like, that's how wide. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, what's her name? Anna?
Elizabeth?
Elizabeth Anna, whatever, is, like, the actual computer.
Mm-hmm.
In some alternate universe where, like, they transfer her essence into this robot. I don't know. They could do a lot more with the lore through System Shock.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just, like, remake it into, like a full story between 1 and 2 and 3, like to insert it. Cause I know a lot of people didn't play System Shock until they played BioShock.
Yeah.
I played System Shock like I think a few years before I played BioShock just to kind of get myself familiar. Yeah, but it is a hard, I mean like it's a step down to play System Shock.
Mm-hmm.
Is it so like early 90s movement and controls and just like how the game runs.
Speaking of like remastered stuff too, the Batman Return to Arkham collection has been delayed indefinitely from WB.
They probably realize like no one wants to play this again.
Well, it was supposed to come out in July, and then they put out an announcement that said like they're giving the team the like remaster team, which is Virtuous Games, are giving them like more time to polish the Batman Arkham collection. So they don't have a new release date. So that's what they said.
Wait, are they polishing the Arkham collection that they already like said?
We did. The team at WB Games has decided to delay the release of Batman Return to Arkham to give the team at Virtuous Games additional time to deliver a polished Batman Arkham game experience.
But aren't they also working on the VR one too?
Well, that's Rocksteady is. Like, the actual studio is working on the VR game. This is just, like, a port, like, company that's doing the Return to Arkham.
Gotcha. Because I was confused. I was, like, just...
I don't. I mean, only because they don't. They're not including Origins. I don't know why.
Because it was terrible. And no one
I didn't mind it
until you like you fell through like a hole in the earth and never came back.
Like, it only happened like once, man.
The only two huge bugs I ran into was like there was like one point where like I got into a fight and then the guys just never fought me and I couldn't fight them, and then. So I was just like in the like it was just like Batman was in like combat pose, just like going like around in a circle, like looking at these guys, and then no one did anything. And then there was one of the like Riddler towers where like you had to like use the like grab like the kind of like tightrope launcher, and Batman would like zipline up to it, get on it, and fall down, and you would never be able to like get on the zipline to like actually get into the tower. He was just, like the zipline would just, like, fall, like kind of, like, bungee all the way down to the floor of the tower, and, like, Batman would just, like, fall off of it.
So you just had a terrible experience, huh?
I mean, it didn't break the game. Like, so I heard some, like, horror stories from that game of, like, just, like getting, like, you're just, like, Batman fell through the geometry, and, like, that's where it saves. Like, you realize, like, your save game was, like, destroyed, basically. But yeah, it wasn't compared to the other Arkham games. Like that was not. It was very clearly not as good. So other news. Netflix has picked up the Lost in Space remake for 10 episodes. Hopefully, it's better than the 90s movie.
Hey man, that was an okay 90s movie. Matt LeBlanc
the one and only chance for Matt LeBlanc to be an action hero.
I still appreciate the armor scene. That was pretty cool.
Fighting like space spiders.
Space spiders, pretty stupid, but okay.
Gary Oldman basically was like the only reason that we see that movie now.
Yeah, it really is. They banked on a lot of people to hope to be big stars. Like
yeah, that kid.
The kid.
Lacey Chabert.
She at least became a voice actress. Mm-hmm. She was the original Meg. I think she was, or someone else was.
Yeah, I think she was. Yeah, she was. Yeah.
Matt LeBlanc was there. Heather Graham was there.
Like super bored, pissed off William Hurt. They got the original voice of the robot back though, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some okay stuff, but then like. When, like, this fucking, like, CG space monkey showed up, it's just like, oh, God.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that Harley.
That is, like, one of the worst CG things that has ever, like, it, going back to it and looking at the thing, that thing is, like eye-bleedingly bad. that was, like, top of the line, like, CG 90s. Like, look at this thing we made. It's a whole CG creature.
It's like they took a rejected concept from Toy Story and inserted into this. It's like that kind of level of crazy.
Yeah, there's not really any sort of info about this new one. There's not even any casting news or...
They probably just bought the rights and just told people we have the rights. Mm-hmm. Okay, the original right holder... Probably didn't care, which is like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I think it originally aired on like CBS or something, so. But yeah, so they'll be coming to Netflix in the near future, so keep an eye out for that one. And then also in TV related news, pretty sure got renewed for a second season.
Yeah.
Which it's going to be 13 episodes, I believe.
Well, isn't this season 13 episodes?
Or this season is
like 8 or 6?
I think it's like Breaking Bad style, where like the first season of Breaking Bad was like 7 episodes or 6 episodes or something.
Hmm. I mean, they're not going to cover all the zany shit that goes on in the comics, because they're condensing the arcs. And that's the best thing they can do, because I think like for me, I'm excited because this is one of like my favorite comic series because it's like a complete series. It's got like really good characters. It's got funny dialogue. It's really adult. But the fan base isn't quite there, because it's like it's getting there. People are actually reading it now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah, this first season is 10, so we're halfway through the first season right now.
Awesome.
So it'll be three extra episodes next season.
Which, again, the writing's consistent, because they're traveling along the stories, but
mm-hmm.
I can't wait until they introduce, like, the main villain of the series. Or the two main villains, one of the two. Mm-hmm. One of them is Saar.
So we also got the voice cast for the upcoming Lego Ninjago movie, which is I believe it's tied into the
TV show.
Well, like the Lego movie universe. Like it's
really,
it's like a spinoff of like the Lego movie and Lego Batman movie. So
it's like they already have like Ninjago made for DVD movies.
Yeah, but this is like a part of that like Lego, like the Lego universe that like Warner Bros. Is doing now because of Lego movie. So.
I mean, plus, isn't, like, Lego Dimensions part of Lego Movie 2?
I mean, the characters are in there, but it's not, like, a, I don't know if it's, like, canon.
Like, I thought it was. I thought it was, like, a canon
maybe,
thing.
Maybe, yeah.
Because, like, Wildstar is
in Wild Style, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, they had, like the way that they announced, like, Ninjago was, like, they had, like, Emmett from the Lego Movie, and, like the ninja show up in his, like his apartment or something. It was like stealing stuff.
Hmm.
But yeah, so the voice cast is actually pretty crazy for Ninjago. Jackie Chan is gonna be the lead, Master Wu.
Oh no!
And then we got Dave Franco, Michael Pena, Abby Jacobson, Kumail Nanjiani, Zach Woods, and Fred Armisen.
Fred Armisen just like insert himself in.
Yep. And then Charlie Bean, who I think he was the showrunner for Tron Uprising, the Disney XD show, is directing it.
Okay. Like, he didn't... It wasn't his problem. Like, it wasn't the cast and crew. It was just, like, no one was watching Tron.
Disney XD was like, people watch this at 1 a.m. on Sunday, right? That's a good time frame for this Tron show. So we also got, there's a rumor that started, going around last week that, there might be Fox and Marvel might be entering some sort of negotiations to do a crossover at some point.
I'll see it when I see it again. Yeah, yeah. Cause it's like, we want some of that money, and they looked at, Deadpool, and they're like, we want some of that money, and that fucking Fox is looking at, like...
I think Fox is looking at, like, it'll probably, maybe they're, like, in preliminary talks right now, but, like if Spider-Man Homefront is, like, crazy, like, is a huge blockbuster, I'm sure they'll be like, yeah, so maybe, you guys want Fantastic, we can do, like, a Fantastic Four crossover movie or something, maybe?
Which is good, like, they should be uniting, because they should really take advantage of DC being fractured by its own, like, DC, you know what I mean, like, no one else is making DC movies, only Fox is, like... doing this insane thing.
Yeah. I guess, like, the rumors, like, Fox, like, they've had, like, very, very, very preliminary talks, but, like, Fox is interested in doing something.
I bet you, like, it wasn't even, like, someone high up in Fox, it was just, like,
an intern, it'd be cool if, like, Wolverine fought Captain America. They're just like, shut up, Brad.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. It's like, sir, don't you like money? Like, no, we're going to wait and buy out Marvel. Is that Fox's endgame, but trying to wait out Marvel?
Get working on that Fantastic Four 2 script.
God damn.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like, if you're a Fox, like, at least Fantastic Four, just be like, all right, you guys can have Fantastic Four back. But that was like that was sort of like a middle finger last year to Marvel. Just like, we're gonna keep the rights, motherfuckers. even those movies are terrible, like, you're not getting them.
And like, Fantastic Four is not even featured in comics anymore. Like, even in backgrounds, yeah,
that was there. That was like Marvel's like, all right, you're gonna keep the rights. Well, guess what? No, Fantastic Four are gone.
Yeah, I've been collecting their comics lately. Like, Fantastic Four is not even mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's still, like, around, but they're just, like, on different teams or just, like, they're just, like, wandering around the background, right? Like
kind of, yeah.
Isn't like Ben Grimm just like on another team or just like somewhere else? Like
he's like on vacation. Like he'll be appearing in like mentions and other things. But New York City is like doesn't have a Fantastic Four like base really. Like I'm actually like reading the new Punisher series, which is like the Punisher is kind of like a wandering MacGyver kind of like, oh, you've got problems? Like, all right, let's go meet at a diner and like we'll solve it there.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of the heroes these days are just traveling. They're no longer in New York. The only ones who are in New York are just like the backup, you know, the characters who like are slowly getting popular. Like Miles Morales is now the Spider-Man of New York. And he's actually like him and Daredevil, like the main defenders in New York now. Because the Punisher is not there. Like he's like Midwest now.
Mm-hmm.
And original Spider-Man is just like traveling the world.
With his weird like tech company.
And Mary Jane fucking hanging out with Tony.
Yep.
And Tony Stark is international now, so I'm like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
What is this world?
But then, like, Civil War just began in the comics. So that's just weird. I got, like, one of the first issues where Asian Hulk is, like, being taunted by fucking, like, space aliens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on. It's getting weird. Not as weird as the Batman. I just picked up an issue of that just to, like, collect. Holy fuck. We'll talk about that later.
So, so last bit of news for this week is that Roland Emmerich is working on his next movie after Independence Resurgence, which we'll get to in a couple minutes here. But he's working on a movie called Moonfall, which is basically Armageddon with the moon. It's the moon falls out of orbit and it's going to hit the Earth, and then there's a band of misfits who have to go up and blow up the moon or do something to the moon to stop it from colliding with Earth.
God damn. I mean, I haven't seen Armageddon in a while, so okay. Like, that's cool that we're going to get, like, a spiritual sequel.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get our Aerosmith song.
Yep. This song about, like, a son instead of his daughter.
But yeah. So Universal's making it. They put out like some crazy deal, like some crazy ridiculous amount of money for it. So there's like a bidding war between Universal, Sony, and Fox
because they wanted it.
Yeah. Which I'm guessing this is before the box office numbers for Independence Resurgence came out.
Because now it's like Roland Emmerich is not always bankable.
No. This isn't 90s Roland Emmerich.
This is Godzilla Roland Emmerich, isn't it?
Well, I think Godzilla was still, like, crazy, like, profitable, I think. Even though everyone hated it. But, Independence Day was the number one movie in 1996.
Yep. Well, that movie, like, defined a genre.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, what happened after was, like, even worse. I'm surprised it wasn't, like... You know, like, Deep Impact, Armageddon. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised there wasn't, like, a follow-up. I think maybe, like, the closest thing we got to a follow-up to Independence Day was, like, Mars Attacks. But that was, like, you know, like, an established series, at least.
Yeah, Independence Day, Day After Tomorrow, 2012 are, like, Roland Emmerich's top three movies. Godzilla's 4 had $136 million.
God damn it. It shouldn't have made that much money.
At least Independence Day Returns is beating Stonewall, Anonymous, and Universal Soldier right now, so...
Hey, I liked Anonymous, and I liked Universal Soldier.
Yeah, we all love Universal Soldier. It's like the forgotten Roland Emmerich movie. Like, no one remembers that Roland Emmerich directed Universal Soldier.
I thought that movie just appeared.
Yeah.
You know, like... Just Kurt Russell's like, I'm in this movie, and it's out.
It wasn't Kurt Russell.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the other.
Soldier. You're thinking of Soldier.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot he did Universal Soldier.
Yeah. Well, and you also probably got confused because Roland Emmerich did work with Kurt Russell in Stargate, like, the year after or whatever. Like,
Wait, Stargate? It's up there? It has to be.
Stargate is 8. It made $71 million. White House Down made $73 million.
Is that the one with Channing Tatum?
Yep. 10,000 BC, remember that movie? No one does.
No one does. I just remember, like, I think in college we were thinking about seeing it.
I saw it in, like, a matinee, I think, in college, and it was just, like, the ending of that movie is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Okay, but, like, do you remember when our college was, like, who wants to go see movies for free? We go through the Champlain thing. Mm-hmm. I remember they're like, okay, like, here's your options. I've never seen that on the list going, like, fuck no. Like, I read, like... I remember the school offered to show us for free, and we're just like, no.
Yeah.
That movie's, like, 2 hours long, and it's like has, like, mystical shit that they did not mention in the trailer. Like, I thought it would be this, like, biopic of, like, a caveman or something.
Like, well, it seemed like it was going to be, like, Apocalypto or something, and it turns into, like...
this fucking magic.
Yeah, it's Clash of Titans or something.
I remember, like, I think you told me, like, yeah, then the fucking magic shows up. I was like, what magic? Like, there was... The trailer's not
mentioned. And there's, like, it's, like, a weird mashup of, like... It's, like, a weird, like, future Egypt. It's not quite, like, Gods of Egypt, but it's, like, close to Gods of Egypt, where it's just, like, weird, like, futuristic but not futuristic Egypt. And then there's, like, kind of, like, mutant animals running around. Or, like, it's, like, Egypt with, like, saber-toothed tigers.
What the... I never... God damn it. Anyway, we'll talk for hours about that.
Yeah.
We'll get off the subject.
But yeah, so speaking of Roland Emmerich, though, we can roll into Show and Tell, because I saw Independence Day Resurgence.
Bum, bum, bum.
Which is making no money at the box office, so... except they're basically hoping China will, like, save them, just like it saved Warcraft, but it's probably not going to happen either.
Because even then, they're like, yeah. Oh, wait, there's nothing for them to relate? Like, is it world?
This is 100... There's, like, so much China in this movie.
Really? Like, I did not know that.
There's so much pandering to China in this movie. It's like, it's ridiculous. Like, China is the one who built our moon base that we have in 2016 now, in this alternate universe where it's 2016, but like 2016 after we have like all this alien technology now.
After 20 years
of yeah.
You probably imagine this is a spoiler alert, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah, spoiler for Independence Research if you haven't seen it, but like there's like so much. It's kind of. The movie is kind of just mad, but there is some, like, really crazy shit that happens that just, like, you need to talk about, like, spoilers, so, yeah, if you haven't seen it, or, like, just fast forward, like, 5-10 minutes, or go see it, pause and go see it, if you want. I would say probably wait for a matinee or a rental, maybe.
Go to Denny's, eat the...
Yeah, go to Denny's, eat, like, the red, blue pancakes, whatever the hell they have there. That's probably a better use of your money. But yeah, so yeah, tons of China pandering. Like, we have there's a moon base on the Earth, on the moon, that has like a defense laser, and that's all China funded basically. And like the guy running is like a Chinese general, and then there's like a, they have like Chinese moon milk for like vending machines and like,
What?
And then like, there's like a, So basically, the movie is like it's pretty much 20 years to the day from where Independence Day ended. So it's 4th of July 2016, and they're having a huge like 20th anniversary like celebration like this because like in the time since Independence Day 1, we've had world peace, so there's no more war on Earth, and we have all this technology like all this crazy like space technology and like hover technology and like everything is like all. Alien human hybrid technology that like is like you can like travel between countries in like 10 minutes because everything's like hover or like fusion drives and like cold fusions all over the place. It's like it's this crazy like future like Starship Troopers style kind of future where it's like everything.
I mean, you're almost describing like a fucking Jetsons future where like we just solved everything.
Basically, yeah. Like aliens destroying Earth almost was like the best thing that ever happened to Earth.
It advances by leaps and bounds.
And, yeah, so Jeff Goldblum is, like, the head of the Earth Space Defense Force, which is, like, he's been basically building up our defenses against the aliens from the first movie come back. And, Bill Pullman is, has kind of gone crazy since the first movie, and, like...
he became the Randy Quaid of this universe.
Kind of, because there's, like, this thing where, like, anyone who kind of, like, had contact with, like, the... alien hive mind, like Bill Pullman, and then you find out like Brett Spiner, Dr. Oaken, survived.
Yeah, he's in the fucking trailer, so it's
I guess he lived.
Yeah, he's been in a coma for like the last 20 years, but he wakes up in this movie and then.
But he looks exactly the same. Yep.
And he's also the. Like, he's like probably the best part of this movie. Like, he's the one who's like. He's like a ton of screen time, surprisingly. And like, he's just like the one who's like. Like, has like the most energy and like the most like. This movie's stupid. Yeah. Let's go with it.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. Like, he just pulls out a laser. He's like, give me my laser.
Wait, so he was in coma for how long and then just kind of woke up and now he's, like, yep. part of the team?
Yeah, he wakes up and is, like, is immediately back to, like, where he was in the first movie. He's just, like super, like, psyched about the aliens. He's like,
so does he wake up during the movie or, like, does he wake up in the beginning?
Pretty much, well, he wakes up when the aliens come back. Because, like, the aliens come back in a giant... They come
Holy
back.
Fuck, he's been in a coma for, like, 20 years
yep,
then.
Yep, uh-huh, yep.
And he just gets it.
Yep. Because, like, yeah, and he and, like, Bill Pullman and, like, there's this African warlord who's been, like, hunting, like, aliens predator style in, like is that, like, his country for, like, the last 20 years. Because, like, there's this one ship that, like, actually landed, like, perfectly fine in Africa. And it was like, drilling for something. And then the alien crew that was on that ship, like, escaped into, like, the African bushlands. And, like, this warlord is, like, hunting them down and, like, killing them for, like, the last 20 years.
He's doing a terrible job. Unless there's like a shitload of them.
There were like they have stakes like in the ground full of alien skulls. But yeah, you basically find we find out like that ship and then like this giant like continent-sized ship that comes over the Earth. They were trying to drill to like the Earth's core and like drain the molten lava of the core. It's like an energy source. And that's, like, the big threat of this movie is, like, this continent-sized shift comes and, like, lands over the entire Atlantic Ocean and starts drilling into the middle of the Atlantic Ocean to, like, get the molten core of the Earth. So it's, like, the big, like ticking clock of the movie is, like, they have to stop these aliens before they drain the core.
And then it becomes fucking 2012.
Yeah. But then, super early in the movie, there's, like, another alien ship comes and then... America and the World Council decides to blow it up, but then Jeff Goldblum goes up and like recovers like this sphere from the moon when it crashed. And it turns out it's like an alien sphere from another alien species.
Wait, what? There's a double species?
Yeah, there's another species that has like totally converted their like minds to like technology, so they like transferred their minds to like these like spheres, and they don't have physical bodies anymore. But they have a planet that they use. They have, like, a training planet that they used, like, to, like, bring other species to, like, this planet and train them to fight these, like, the Independence Day aliens.
Oh, wait. So, the other aliens are good aliens, or are they the bad aliens, too?
So there's these technology-based aliens that are good, and they want to train humans to fight the evil Independence Day aliens. They have no names, though. It's just, like, they're just the Independence Day aliens.
Wait, they still haven't given them a name?
Nope. And this new species doesn't have a name either. It's just like, we're the good aliens, they're the bad aliens.
Is there, like, an actual meaningful dialogue that explains it, or is it just, like, exactly as you're saying it, like, oh, these are good guys?
They basically, like, they have, like, the sphere, like, learns English in, like, five seconds, and, like, gives them, like, a hologram of, like, here's our planet that we use to train people.
Does it say, like, learning?
No, it doesn't do learning.
God damn.
But yeah, that's basically the setup. Like, that's how they set up the third movie, if it ever happens. Is like, in the third movie, like Jeff Goldblum and like Liam Hemsworth and like everyone are gonna go into space and like train with these aliens and like have like a final battle with like the evil Independence Day aliens.
I don't know. I mean, Earth did pretty good with like using technology, like dogfighting and sending a nuke.
Yeah.
Like I think that's like, does that happen again?
Well,
like dogfight scenes. Sending a nuke.
They have that just dogfight scene, and then, but it turns out like there's like a queen alien on this giant continent shift, and then she set a trap for like our fighter fleet basically, and they all get captured. Like Liam Hemsworth and Jesse Usher, who is playing Will Smith's stepson, because Will Smith. Yeah, Dylan, like the little kid from the first movie, is now.
Isn't that his real son?
No, remember it was Vivica Fox's son, and then Wilson married her, and then, so that was his stepson.
I forgot that was his stepson.
Yeah. So yeah, so like they like
wait one thing. Vivica Fox is a scientist now, isn't she?
She's a doctor, and she gets killed in like literally like she has like maybe a minute of screen time, and then they just murder her.
She's a doctor?
Yep. She goes from a stripper to a doctor. She saves a pregnant woman by putting her in a helicopter, and then she falls into like the debris of a building and dies.
I saw that. That's in the trailer.
Yeah.
I was like, who's this person falling from a helicopter on a roof?
Yeah. Oh, man. And then also like Judd Hirsch is back and has like the worst subplot in possibly movie history, where like he just drives these kids around for like the entire movie. He's just like in a station wagon with these, like these annoying kids, and like then eventually he finds a school bus full of kids and drives that school bus full of kids.
He just finds more kids.
Yep. He's like, come on kids, we gotta go, we gotta go drive to Area 51, we gotta find my David.
He was on a boat before. How did he get on a...
Oh yeah, he lives on a boat, and then when the giant alien ship comes, it has its own gravity field, so it makes a giant, like, tsunami. And then his boat gets, like, washed up onto, like, the shore of some place. And then these kids find him, like, hanging from, like, his, like, driver's seat of his boat. But then when he's getting washed up in the tsunami, like, his boat, like, gets crushed by, like, an oil tanker. So it's, like... Oh, they killed Judd Hirsch. He's obviously dead. Like, there's no way his boat survived it, like, getting, like, rolled under an oil tanker. But then, like, it's, like, 10 minutes later, like, he's, like, washed up in, like, this, like, ruined suburbs on his boat.
Is he even dirty?
His shirt might be a button or something. I don't know. It's just, like, he's just knocked out. It's fine.
Okay. I mean, Surviving the Impossible is just like a trope in the Independence Day movies.
Yeah. And another weird thing about this movie is like, there's only one sequence of like the city destruction that you would expect from Independence Day. Like all this destruction from the trailer is like pretty much the only destruction in the movie, as far as like the like crazy like city wide destruction from the first movie. And it's when the big ship comes and like it basically. It, like, rips, like, Hong Kong or, like Seoul, South Korea, like, some Asian country, and drops it onto London.
Yeah.
And then basically that ship's, like, parked over the entire Atlantic Ocean. That's the only, like, big, like, city destruction, and the rest of it is, like, kind of generic, like, sci-fi blockbuster action movie stuff, like, we're in the alien ship now, or, like, we're having a giant space battle with the aliens, or... or like the finale where like the alien queen is like basically like Godzilla
and is walking around.
She's walking around. She has a gun. She carries a giant gun that they just like a custom gun she has. And then she's like running to Area 51 like kill like the sphere the sphere alien that like they're trying to hide. Because the Independence Day evil aliens are like scared that the sphere will tell them like where to go, like how to defeat them, so they're trying to destroy the sphere.
So the queen shows up with like a gun by herself.
Yeah, and this is after it's so ridiculous because like it's right after there's this whole thing where like they come up with this plan to like use a shield generator to like seal in her ship, and then Bill Pullman like volunteers to like sacrifice himself to like blow up. He kind of carries like a space tanker full of cold fusion bombs to blow up the ship and then kill her, but then so it's this whole thing like he has like a big speech again, and then he has like this like big like final like is he has this big like final like line of like Happy 4th of July from the people of Earth, and like blows her up.
And he dies.
And he dies. Like, and then the whole ship is destroyed. But then, like, you find out the queen has, like, her own shield. So, like Bill Pullman, like, literally died for nothing.
God damn.
It was just like, it's like, oh god, the alien queen has a shield.
Now does he do the same thing, like, the Randy Quaid, where the plane perfectly is, like, hovering, like vertically?
Well, he flies, like, this, like, space tuck, like, this space, like, tank, like, a tow tanker. Truck. Into, like, because they have, like, they have these space tugs now that they use to, like, build stuff on the moon or, like, on Earth. And so he flies that into, like, the ship and then detonates the nukes on it. And he says, like, happy 4th of July, motherfucker, like, happy 4th of July, bitch, and, like, blows it up, and then, but then it was, like, all for nothing. Because they have to have, another 20 minutes of, like, pointless, like, shoot the queen!
It's like people with guns on the ground shooting it. It's just like walking around.
Yeah, and then but then Liam Hemsworth and Jesse Usher have like commandeered like alien spaceships because they've been for the last like hour they've been like captured on like an alien ship.
And what are they doing in that ship? Just like talking,
just like wandering around like an alien like the aliens have like fucking like Vietnam style like rice paddies on their ships. They've been like going around these like swap lands of this alien ship like trying like. Like dodge aliens and like steal ships.
I feel like that's a is it a comedy scene for that or is it just something like almost Behind Enemy Lines style?
It's, like it's they're like, both. Yeah, it's like Behind Enemy Lines. Like there's like alien like the Independence Day aliens like marching through the marshlands like shooting like they have like they actually like do more than just like stand around and, like wave tentacles around. They have guns and like they're running around like shooting people and stuff.
Yeah, because what. Fucking aliens in the first movie. They didn't have weapons when they landed here. If their ship crashed, they're just like, let's just fucking wave tentacles and, like, scare people. But if you punch it in the head hard enough, it goes to sleep.
Yeah. They actually tried to, like, do, like a homage to that scene, I think, or something. Where, like, I forget. I think Liam Hemsworth punches it and, like it doesn't work. Like, he hurts his hand. He's like, oh, man, I thought that would work or something.
He doesn't have the power of Will Smith.
Yeah. There's a gaping hole of like where like Will Smith should be. Like Jesse Usher and Liam Hemsworth have like maybe a quarter of Will Smith's charisma together, like combined. It's like they need four characters to like attempt to replace Will Smith and it still fails.
They need one more, just one more.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so, then the most blatant, like, sequel setup ever, where it's just, like Brett Spiner's like, we gotta go fly into space and kick some alien ass! I learned how to make spaceships that can go to interstellar travel now.
We need China.
Yep, where's China? China builds a spaceship.
I'm surprised there isn't, like, a Chinese pilot or there someone. Is. Oh, there is?
Yeah, because, there's a 4th of July, like celebration flight team that gets, sent to the moon, Jesse Usher is one of them, and like just like this like hotshot Chinese pilot, and she's like part of it, and then like Liam Hemsworth has like this like comedy relief friend who's basically like his friend is like basically like Harry Connick Jr. from the first movie, you remember, like Will Smith's wingman,
yeah,
Will Smith's goose basically. It's like Liam Hemsworth has a goose now, and then he's like has a crush on like the Chinese pilot, and like the whole movie is him just trying to like hit on the Chinese pilot the entire movie.
Well, I thought it was the president's daughter.
No, Liam Hemsworth is, like, the fiancé to, like, the president's daughter. His friend, like, he's a friend. Like, he's, like, a goose-style friend who's, like, hitting on the Chinese pilot. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what? Okay. Different.
And then Jeff Goldblum is just... Jeff Goldblum the entire movie, like it's just like he's like not doing anything that you wouldn't expect from Jeff Goldblum, now Jeff Goldblum is like he's just like yeah oh no aliens okay, his persona now like he realizes like the Jeff Goldblum persona is like
oh go full Goldblum
yeah he's going full Goldblum.
So it might be worth to see him, but maybe not.
Yeah, he Jeff Goldblum and Brent Spiner, I think, pretty much carry the movie. And like Bill Pullman has some good stuff. There's a part where like Bill Pullman is like giving like it's like just talking to Jeff Goldblum, and then like it's like they set it up as like he's like giving a speech, or everyone's just like, oh my god, Bill Pullman's talking, everyone guys gather around, Bill Pullman's giving a speech. But it's just, like, him, like, talking, like, Jeff Goldblum giving him, like, a pep talk. Everyone's just like, oh my god, he's talking! The president's talking! But yeah, so there is a lot of, like random craziness about it, but a lot of it is just, like, kind of generic summer blockbuster stuff that's not really, like, it's kind of, like, overall it's kind of meh, but there is some, like, some really insane parts that will probably make it, like, we're seeing, like a matinee or, like, later, not on, like, the video.
Okay.
It's definitely nowhere near as good as the first one.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty hard to top. From nostalgia factor, for crazy dogfight piloting.
I kind of feel the same way about this one that I felt about, like X-Men Apocalypse, where it's just like, meh, that was okay.
It's a movie.
So we should also probably talk about, well, actually, did you see Game of Thrones, Chris? The finale?
Yes. The finale?
Okay, yeah, we should probably talk about that as well, because that was a huge thing that happened this weekend. So, spoilers for Game of Thrones as well, so if you came back from Independence Day spoilers, like, and you haven't seen Game of Thrones, pause it or fast forward again. But yeah, a ton of crazy stuff happened on Game of Thrones this final episode.
Yeah, it was a culmination of just like, oh yeah, fight sequences, we should do that.
Well, they had the episode 9, Battle of the Bastards, but then this one was like, and here's more stuff, here's whatever else.
Yeah, more deaths.
Yeah. Well, Cersei freaking just, like, killed everyone in King's Landing, basically.
Well, just that one area, right?
Well, I mean, that was pretty much all the, like, any of the power players that could have, like, done anything to stop her. Now she's basically unstoppable.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, you had, like, Daenerys has basically just, like, an unstoppable army now. Like, she has, like, everything.
She recruited all of, like, the Far East side, I guess. Yep. Even alliancing with, like, the fucking queen.
Dorne.
Dorne.
The worst place in this, like, the worst and most boring place in Game of Thrones.
Nothing really happens there anymore.
That was the worst part of last season, is that everything that happened there. And then it was, like, they did that the first part of episode 1 where they took over and killed everyone. Like, the sand snakes or whatever killed everyone. And then they haven't shown up since until this episode.
And then all they did was talk.
Yeah, the best part was, like, Lady Olenna just, like, telling them how much they sucked. Like, she was just, like, sassing them the entire time. She told the one, like, you look like a boy, shut up.
You have any questions? Good, don't. The grown women are talking.
Yeah, let the grown-ups talk.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the revelation that everyone kind of figured out for themselves?
Oh, you mean, like, that Jon is, like, half Targaryen, half Stark?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's been going around since, like, for, like, 10 years, apparently, so. and then I think HBO, like, I don't know if it, like, they accidentally leaked it, or, like, it wasn't supposed to go up quite that soon, but, like, they put out, like, this, like, parental chart on, like, the HBO blog that had, like, 100% confirmed it. Because there was still kind of, like, you could have, like, maybe they speculated a little bit more, because there was, like, there was no audio, or like, you couldn't hear, like, when, Lyanna Stark was, like, whispering to Ned about, like,
who
the father was or whatever. But then, like, she was like, here's a chart. Here's a chart that says who the parent is.
Who was the parent? The king?
It's Rhaegar Targaryen, who is the son of the Mad King. And Daenerys' older brother. So that makes Jon Daenerys' nephew. Or half-nephew, I guess. Or I don't know how that works. But, yeah, I guess nephew.
I mean, aren't they supposed to, like, try to hook up or something?
I don't know what's gonna happen there, but
because the Song of Fire and Ice is that she's fire and he's ice,
I guess. Yeah,
and it's like because it looks like the idea is that they're gonna, like, become king and queen and unite both sides,
mm-hmm.
and that's how they keep everything at bay. Or he becomes the Night King and she's like, and then he loves her too much to keep invading, and then she becomes like the queen where, like, she doesn't want to, like, kill him.
Everyone expects that, like, the dragons are gonna be able to fight, like, basically melt the White Walkers. like that's gonna be like the secret weapon. Like the Valyrian steel and the dragons are gonna be the main weapon against the White Walkers when they show up.
I'm pretty sure it's just mostly dragons. There's like two Valyrian sealed swords left.
I think there's three,
which is not enough.
Like Sam's sword he has, like his father's sword is they stole is a Valyrian steel sword, and then John's sword is Valyrian steel, and I think Brienne's sword is Valyrian steel.
Still not enough.
And I think there's like dragon glass, which is like up, like Kessel Black has some dragon glass maybe or something because they were trying to like turn into like arrows or swords or something. Because that's what Sam uses to kill, like, the one in that, like, season
three. Yeah, he just, like, throws it at him.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, okay, that's still not enough for, like, the army that it could, you know, it needs.
They'll probably, like, Sam will probably, like in the, now he's at the library, like, he'll find, like, some, like, stat, like, secret stash of, like, Valyrian steel or something. Or, like,
the recipe.
Here's an armory full of swords. And then it was just like John is now the king of the North.
Yeah. Well, so was his brother at one point.
Yeah. Another great Lyanna Mormont moment where she's just like she just like yells at all the old men like you fucking assholes like.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. I hope she stays around long enough.
Oh yeah, she's the best. It's like, I backed him. Why don't you assholes back him?
Like, I remember all this history.
You're 10. Shut up. And then Cersei's the queen of King's Landing now because she blew everyone up, and Daenerys is on the way, and Arya killed Walder Frey because she's back.
Very quickly. Yeah, but that was the nice like reversal red wedding, which I said the red funeral.
Mm-hmm. Well, cooked his sons into like a meat pie and then like slit his throat while
Yeah, I forgot. I was like, I had to look up their name, like, oh yeah, it's those guys, which we don't even see off camera what they did.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're dead. You ate them.
And I think there's like around like 13, 14 episodes left of the show. There's gonna be like two 7 episode seasons, I think. Or like the final season is gonna be broken up into like 7 and 7.
And then it's over.
Yep.
Well, isn't like the books haven't done yet,
no,
so
not even out yet, no.
I wonder what the difference is gonna be.
Well, I think George R. R. Martin told them like the general roadmap of like where it's supposed to go, like the main points and like the main plot points and stuff. But then like I think he said like in the books like Hodor is gonna have like a different death in the book or something, and it's gonna be a lot like some stuff's gonna be different or a lot of stuff's gonna be different. And there's characters in the book that haven't even been introduced in the show at all.
Oh, there's so many.
Yeah.
And they just are just like they might even not tease certain characters. It's like, yeah, we have no time to introduce like a witch.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going like full throttle now. That they're like now they know like they're gonna end and be able to deal with the books. They're ahead of the books. Like they're just going like full throttle on the show. It's just like let's get everyone in the same place and let's just like do everything. Let's
do that first. Yeah. But like it'd be weird introduction to bring in like certain characters and it's just like, oh yeah, I've been alive,
mm-hmm.
or like now I came back.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're in spoilers, like you're talking about Lady Stoneheart.
Yeah, Lady Stoneheart, who I'm like, they've been teasing for her for, like, years, and they're just like, oh yeah, about her.
Mm-hmm.
So where the fuck is she?
Maybe next season, who knows? This is probably, easily one of the best seasons of Game of Thrones, though.
Yeah.
And I think next season's gonna be even crazier, like, just... Like, if, like, Daenerys has to get there, like, at least the first few episodes, and then like, it's just gonna be, like, all hell breaks loose.
I hope so, because, like, she's gonna show up, and, like, there's gonna be, like, no one left. It's just gonna be Jon.
Well, I mean, it's basically it's like it's just three sides now. It's like Jon in the north, Cersei in the south, and King's Landing, and then Daenerys heading over the sea,
taking her sweet ass time. What's his name went to like two different continents and came back to pick up
yes
Daenerys, and I was like, what? Yeah, people were like going like confused by that. I was like, oh, it kind of makes sense if like he has the fast ships and he's just like traveling.
Well, I guess the showrunner said like. Things don't like they're not like is like in sequence
linear.
They are like so some things might be happening like weeks or months after another thing. It's not like this thing happens and like next thing is like a minute after that happened. It's like there's like the timelines are kind of like skewed for different characters. Like Arya was probably on a boat for like months since she left. Episode to get to like Westeros, but they're like, do you really want to have like five episodes like Arya on a boat for like 5 weeks,
just like sword dancing and
she's
fucking
like,
complaining.
Yep, she's still on a boat. Next person,
back to Hordor's dead body.
Which I would like. Yeah, I'm 100% like, yeah, just rush if you like. I'll deal with like suspending disbelief about how people are getting around if it's like leads like awesome moments instead, like.
But I want to see, Zach. I want to see, like...
You need to, like... You need confirmation. Like,
I need confirmation. Because unlike last time where
you,
I was like,
you need
okay.
You want more boat travel. Just, like, people on boats for months and months and months.
I need an extra two episodes of, like, content of them just, like, eating and...
Deleted scenes of just, like deleted, like, 5 hours of boat journeys. And people walking.
Yep. Oh, my God. People walking. Big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
They did in Lord of the Rings. I need to see it now.
Yep. Maybe they should just get some giant eagles out in Game of Thrones. That'll solve everything.
Just let Daenerys like rent out her dragons for flight. Like, mm-hmm. rentals.
But yeah, so we got a year until Game of Thrones is back, so...
Not bad. I could wait. I could probably catch up all those things.
Mm-hmm. So, have you been watching anything else, Chris?
Preacher.
Yep.
I've been catching up on that. I'm just behind an episode, so pretty awesome. I definitely recommend now that you have some time off from Game of Thrones to make that your new Game of Thrones.
Yeah, now it doesn't have to compete with Game of Thrones anymore. Like,
yeah, it wasn't going to win the Game of Thrones. Like, it's maybe, like, once it's done, and by the end of Preacher, it gets kind of crazy,
mm-hmm.
but nothing close to Game of Thrones yet. I haven't been watching anything. Been kind of busy with too many games, mm-hmm. so
well,
I had that.
Like, since we're talking about like shows that air on Sundays, also I watched the. Well, it's three episodes now, but The Last Ship is back. The crazy,
and I thought it was almost over.
No, it just started like. They actually delayed it like a week for like the first two episodes because there's a scene. Some
tragedies.
Yeah, there's a scene in the first episode that's like a shootout at a nightclub, which would probably have been not great to show on the Sunday after what happened in Orlando. So that was a wise choice. But yeah, it's Michael Bay, so and it definitely has like the like a lot of the Michael Bay like there's like a lot of like. It's just like America, fuck yeah, the show. It's just like America's like saving the entire world, and like it's all just like Navy, like the Navy's the best, like, and it's like so much like Navy jargon of just like people just yelling like Navy jargon, and you have no clue what's going on, but it sounds cool. It's just like yeah, all right, yeah, JCON that missile 3 box 2. Switch port. Yeah. But yeah, but it very rarely goes into like the like terrible Michael Bay level though of like Transformers area where it's just like stupid shit's happening. Like it's still like in like the Rock kind of area of Michael Bay. Where it's just like fun action. And they've kind of they've like almost like completely gone away from like the first season was kind of like Outbreak Whereas, like, they were, like, trying to deal with this disease, and they just said, like, second season, they were just like, fuck that. We're just, like, shootouts, and we're fighting people, and, like...
I mean, are they still trying to prevent the virus? I remember, like, that was...
There's still a virus, but they're, like, basically America's rebuilt, but now the whole plot of this third season is, like, they have to go to Asia, because, like, the Chinese president is, like, hoarding the cure, and, like, basically trying to cause a war with, like, Vietnam and stuff. So, like, it's all, like, this, like, Asian... political drama going on, and like some of the crew got kidnapped by like Japanese pirates. so that's like Eric Dane has to, like, go into like under like his like he's like the head of he's like the, basically the Secretary of Defense now because like they're trying to like rebuild the cabinet, but he just like says like fuck that and, like goes undercover in, like Vietnam to like rescue the crew again.
Okay. This is, like, last season, right? Because there's really not much story they can go for anymore.
Well, last season, they were fighting... There was a group of, like, led by the...
Religious nuts. I remember, like, that was one of them.
Well, it was the two British, former, like, Navy guys who, like, were on a submarine. They basically hijacked the submarine, and then they were immune to the cure. So they were basically, like, gathering everyone who was immune and, like, killing everyone who wasn't immune. And so then they basically took over, like, Florida and, like, the south of America. So it was, like, the whole... Like, it was, like, the crew of, like, the ship were, like, trying to, like, basically attack them and get America back. And then, and, like, the immunes had, like, the person who was the president because of, like, the succession. Like, they had him, like, hostage. And he was, like... It was basically, like, that, like, Kiefer Sutherland show that's coming up in the fall, like, where he's, like, the secretary of, like... agriculture or something. Like, it was like some like super low level like cabinet person, like, but he's the president because everyone's just dead. So this is going on like the last ship, like the secretary of like transportation is like the president now, and like the capital is in St. Louis. Like, they moved the American capital to St. Louis because Washington D.C. is still like kind of like kind of destroyed. So But it's like a fun, dumb, like, action blockbuster show. it's like a summer action movie, but like weekly. So I would say check it out. I think in the first two seasons are on Hulu, I think, or something. So you can catch up there. And then that's it for me. So I think we can wrap this thing up for the week. I think if you head over to our site, you can check out our Lost World commentary that we that just went up this week, which we did with Mike from Action Reaction. So that team up, we dive into. If you want to hear more about Jeff Goldblum and like all the character actors in that movie and like why they like, trying to make copies of the thing and it failing and also like a bunch of other stuff. So we dive into all that on the commentary. So. And, yeah, all of our stuff is up there as well on the site. And, yeah, so for Chris, I am Zach, and, we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com. Facebook.com/everything.action. Twitter.com/EVAction. Everythingaction.tumblr.com. And search for us on the iTunes Music Store and Stitcher.com.